This is the Excess Malarkey podcast. Like Excess Malarkey, but without the comedians telling jokes on a stage. You have to pay for that.
It's me, Steve Royal, and you're listening to the Excess Malarkey podcast. It's lovely.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Excess Malarkey. Would you please welcome onto the stage your host and compere, Mr. Toby Haydock!
I'm Toby, I'm your compere. Give us a shout if you've been to Excess Malarkey before. Yay! Then you know the score. It's excellent comedy with some of the other things that most comedy clubs don't have, like a draft and no draft behind the bar. Well, you know, we're idiosyncratic, but we're fine, which is why we're cheap. It's good. The comedy is what comes first, and some of the wine is, yes, what have we got here? Selection Italiano. I like that. That's very good. I like that. That's very clever, isn't it? It's going, it's Italian wine, but we'll actually say Italiano to distract you from the screw top. I like that. How much was that? £7 for a bottle of wine. That's a fucking bargain. I love it here.
Hiya, my name's Joe Enright, and you're listening to the Excess Malarkey podcast. How fancy is that?
Because those of you who were here a few weeks ago chortled almost half to death at my Domino's pizza joke. If you weren't here, you missed a thing. It was a whole joke about not just Domino's pizza, but also the recession. You had to be there. But I've been trying to come up with a sequel because, you know, I'm an equal opportunities foodstuff jokesmith. And that was not a bad sentence. I've been trying to write a joke about tapas, and I failed. I did come up with lots of little bits of a joke about... Oh, yes! Oh, that is why I like this club. I did that gag at a place in Crouch End, which is a part of London that is awash with actors. And I did that joke, and they sort of went... That's merely wordplay in a sentence that you've used for amusing effect. You know, what an actual joke is. Yes, do something different. Fuck off. Groucho's shut, is it?
Hi, this is Steve Royal, Excess Malarkey, old boy, I like to think of myself. I've done it many, many, many times. It's difficult to pick on one single gig. I know there was one when they boarded up the back of the old venue. They boarded up and there were just little drill holes. I remember it was just at the same time that Joseph Fritzl was going through the court case in Austria. And I went on and referenced that, and that was probably an improvised comedy. That was one of the highlights of that moment. I remember another time as well, doing a piece that I still do occasionally about the guy who lives in the middle of the M62 motorway. And as I'm talking about the idea that he's bringing the sheep in, and how difficult it is for him, you know, to bring the sheep in the middle of a motorway, you know, with all the traffic going past, and this woman kept putting her hand up on the front row, and she was distracting me to the point where I had to ask her. I said, "What's the matter, love? Why have you got your hand up?" And brilliantly, she just went, "Actually, he's got an access road." And just pointing out the obvious like that. Just a moment. And I've retold that tale so many, many times when I've done that piece of material now since. And I'll tell you what, tonight, I've been here tonight in the new venue, which is absolutely brilliant, in an old church. And I'll tell you what, it always bodes for a good atmosphere when you've got a few gravestones just on the way in. You know what I mean? I always think people put some in the right kind of mood for a bit of comedy. But like the way that they've lightened it a little bit by just putting some fairy lights on. It's what they would have wanted. It's what they would have wanted. My granddad used to live just around the corner from here, and he died, sadly, not long ago, and he was buried in this very churchyard, and he said to me, his dying wish was, "Can I have some fairy lights on my gravestone?" And I said, "Granddad, they're not going to allow it. They'll never allow it." He says, "Oh, please, try your best." So eventually, you know, I forced the church into liquidation, and I got the lads in here. I said, "Go on, do it." And they put the lights up, and it's worked a treat. It really has. It's brightened up the place. And the venue, in terms of comedy, it's going to be a cracking place. And I can see now we're on a balcony. And this is it. I'm looking at the potential that probably one day there'll be seats up here as well, and it'll be absolutely rammed in this place. It was very busy tonight anyway, but cracking venue, cracking people, and probably the best organisers of comedy in the entire city of Manchester.
We do have an Excess Malarkey podcast, by the way. I tried to explain to my mum what a podcast... I tried to explain... I've got to that point. Now, I'm not. None of this old people are funny because I don't think of my mum as being old, although she is what I thought was old when I was younger. But I'm a bit older now, and now she's just annoying. When you get a bit older, that just, oh, shut up, you think. Because I said to my mum, there's a podcast, and she said, I don't know what that is. I mean, it's just like a radio programme, but it's just on the internet. Oh, beats me. No, you know what the internet is. I know you know what the internet is. You've got a Facebook page. Yes, but I don't know how it works. No, but you can write stuff on it. You know what the internet is. It's a big place in a computer. Anybody can go there. You've got a radio. Yes, right. A podcast is like a radio show. It's just not on a specific time. Well, how do you know when to listen to it? You're just being willfully stupid now. I'll show you. No, I simply won't understand. No, you just like the fact. You just think I'm going to go, oh, how, you know, how behind the times she is. Isn't that endearing? It's not. It's thumpable. But because you've got brittle bones now, I'm not allowed to do it. It's just not fair. You're just taking advantage of the fact that if I prick you, you definitely will bleed and probably won't stop for a week. Good. So there's a sort of quote from The Merchant of Venice there as well. That's not bad. Anyway, good.
Hi, I'm Bobby Mayer, and you're listening to the Access Malarkey Podcast. It's recorded in an old church. Well, that's strange.
Hello, people of Earth. You are listening to the Access Malarkey Podcast, and so am I. Touch me.
Hello, my name is Hayley Ellis. I am 31 years of age, deceptively young-looking, I must say so myself, although the mirror does lie to me quite often. I've been doing stand-up for 3 years this year. Not yet, though. I'm two and a bit still. I did my first gig at King Gong, which is in the Manchester Comedy Store, which is the most brutal of comedy nights. It is basically a bear pit where people shout abuse at you and want you to die physically and your set die as well. But I enjoyed it, which makes me kind of a sadist. But and then I come back and I started gigging and I enjoyed it more and more. And obviously you have your good gigs and then you have your bad gigs, but it's worth doing. I love it a lot. Stupid things make me laugh, like people fall in. I like it when my boyfriend accidentally hurts himself. So say he gets out of bed and stubs his toe, things like that. I like that.
That was I like the way that you sort of looked at him and nodded in approval to say, yes, yes, you can have the credit for this one. so you're having a sort of orgasm competition. I like that. That's women have multiple orgasms. Yeah, only if the man's doing it right. Well, that's your fault for your choice of man. Never blame the man for the quality or otherwise of your orgasm. Blame your choice of man or the level of man you can attract. Oh dear, I didn't really mean that, but it was funny. Good, right, I've been funny by mistake. I'm going to quit while I'm ahead. No offence. write that down.
I'm Bobby Mayer, I'm a stand-up comedian. I moved here from Canada 6 months ago, and now I live in London and tour the UK doing stand-up. I started doing stand-up about 6 years ago in Canada, in Toronto, Ontario, and I live there. And then I kind of got bored of just, you know, touring around and doing the same gigs all the time in Canada. So I saved up some money, and I moved here in July. It worked out really well. I won this $10,000 competition right before I moved. So it was like I was worried about money, and then I won 10 grand. It was like, all right, now I don't have to worry for 6 months.
Oh, I really want Justin Bieber to sing at my funeral. Just that for my friends at the funeral, my death is the second worst thing happening there.
This is my first time at Access, yeah. And it was a crazy journey. I left today at 12 o'clock from my house, and then I got on a bus, and then the door stopped working, so we needed to wait for a new bus. And then it turned out being a 9-hour trip to Manchester, and now I did the show, and I'm doing this podcast, the Access Malarkey Podcast, and then I get on another bus at midnight, and I bus back for 6 hours, and then it takes me an hour to get home, and then I get back home 20 hours after I left for Manchester, having done a 10-minute set, hoping to get more bookings in the future. But I love it. That's an exciting day to do the thing I love, and that's great.
Edges, because double acts they have to have. You know, the name has to be related. So Hayley Ellis. Hayley would have to be in a double act with a comedian called Other People. Called Ellis Other People, or Huy Clos, they'd be called in France. That's the only joke that does about that play. None of it's very good. You look that's a very good joke if you've done very obscure subjects as part of a drama degree. It's very good. There's a French play called Huis Clos, but it's called Hell is Other People. Sorry? We'll do a link in the podcast. That joke's gone so well, I will do it again in the podcast, yeah. With sort of subheadings and notes and big diagrams to show why any problem with the joke is entirely down to you and fuck all to do with me. I knew what I was doing that was being funny. You just need to catch the fuck up.
My name is Joe Enright, and I am standing in the venue that is Excess Malarkey. I did my first open spot in 1991 at the Comedy Store because I didn't know that there was a hierarchy of gigs. I just thought, well, comedy happens at the comedy shop, the Comedy Store. So that's where I went to do my first 5 minutes. It went surprisingly well for an angry woman in her early 20s who just been two-timed by her boyfriend, which was why she was going on stage craving attention. It went remarkably well.
And since then, it's just...
Since then, I haven't been two-timed, so it's all been fine, Richard.
So you've cheered up a little.
I've cheered up a bit. My comedy heroes, heroines. I love very early Billy Connolly when he's talking about his drunken uncles and when he's talking about his family and stuff like that. And I think I love Richard Pryor, who I'm watching a lot of right now, who I watched when I began, but I'm watching a whole lot more now. I love the raw honesty of that. I think my material's based on real life events, like my parents dying, me having nits, having rubbish jobs. It's kind of autobiographical, really. I try to base it in the truth and then take it a little bit exaggerated, but yeah, autobiographical storytelling. There's characters in there. I like to do characterisation so that I don't get bored during my act. I like to go into characters. I thought the new venue was beautiful. I love churches. I love the acoustics. And I thought the audience were really intelligent, which threw me a bit. Not like my normal gigs. No, I thought it was a beautiful venue. I love massive high ceilings. It's kind of makes you step up a gear. It makes you deliver a performance. You can't be too casual about it because the space isn't casual, you know, and I like that.
Yeah, so the space affects the way you perform a
gig? I think so. I mean, obviously comedy, stand-up's so intimate, but the space really affects how the gig goes because you need to fill that space. You need to speak to every corner of the room, really.
So a lot of my stuff there, this is just like a rehearsed reading of something that were it prose, you'd be going, oh, yes, this is very good. Timon of Athens, there, that's 4 Shakespeare plays we've got tonight. Only another 32 to go. God almighty, we won't be here for 11 nights. We'll be carrying... It's amazing how fucking long it took you to get there, though. I didn't know he wrote 11 nights, 11 days. What is that? No, he didn't. That's good. Right, anyway. And there we go. It's a good job. I got that down in one. We don't want my comedy to have any errors in it. I am just going to amuse myself for the rest of the evening. Fuck the lot of you. We've got 3 more brilliant comics, so what I do is immaterial. Sometimes I do material, but I'm not wasting it on you this evening. So I'm doing immaterial. It's like anti-material.
Hello, this is Joe Lycett. You're listening to the Excess Malarkey podcast, which is a very good idea.
Ladies and gentlemen, please make some noise for Mr. Dan Nightingale!
I nearly killed you. I nearly knocked that speaker onto you. Look at you. That's so hard. Knock it. See what happens. I love doing voices. I've just been reminded of an introduction that Bernie Mac got on the Kings of Comedy DVD. Oh, I would love to do it for Gary Delaney. I really wish I'd pre-prepared it. It's the best introduction ever. I don't know if you ever get the DVD, if you ever have the watch of the DVD Kings of Comedy, there's a compere on it, and he's playing South Carolina fucking indoor arena, and he's comparing the front row, going, "Hey, what's your name?" Hey, not in that voice. He's not from Clitheroe. When he starts wearing someone's jacket, it's proper shit. But his introduction to Bernie Mac is amazing. Ladies and gents, the next act on this stage, you may recognize him. And he goes through his fucking CV. He goes, you may recognize him from the hit TV show Moesha. Like everyone's going to go, yes! I've never heard of Bernie Mac before, but woo! I got carried away there. That Dandelion and Burdock has kicked in. Woo! I will say this about Gary Delaney, who is about to close this show. I, in all my time of comedy, have never seen anyone write so many fantastic jokes. In fact, this is the compliment I'll pay to him. He is the most ripped off and plagiarised comedian in stand-up today. That's how many good jokes he's written. Every cunt has nicked them. So, we're going to just... Are you ready for your closing act, ladies and gents? Gary Delaney, are you ready for this? Put your goddamn hands together for my white friend, Mr. Gary Delaney!
Hello, XS.
Hello, my name's Gary Delaney. It's nice to be here. Yeah, my first experience of XS Malarkey was... this would have been back in, 2001, so 10 years ago now. And I started off my comedy career living in London, because I worked there at the time, and London clubs were basically crappy if you're a new act. There was, you know, I'm sure it's even worse today, but there was no audience and no pro acts on the bill, and they were basically terrible. So me and a friend of mine, Queeve McDonald.
This is Queeve McDonald. You're listening to the XS Malarkey podcast, which will be somewhere on the internet in between the paedophiles and the porn.
I do feel sorry for chickens, though. Because look at this. Mary, there is no religion in the world that tells you can't eat chickens. How pissed off must they be?
Just standing around going, yeah, apparently we're too delicious to be sacrilegious. What the fuck's going on here? All you have to do is start the rumour we might contain nuts and hope for the best.
Me and a friend of mine, Queeve McDonald, decided to get out of London, out of town, as London Comics patronisingly refer to the rest of the United Kingdom, and decide to do some gigs to actually bigger audiences, hopefully nicer audiences with pro acts, to see if we learned something and got some advancement. And it was a real turning point in both our careers, to be honest. And this was either the first or the second one we had. I know the first two we did outside of London were the Comedy Cav in Moseley for James Cook and here for Toby Ado. And we were on our way up. And it all got a bit chaotic because we thought we were doing terribly well. And we left Shepherd's Bush and we toddled up the M40 and we were just about to reach Birmingham. And we thought we were making loads of time. But we were so naive and ignorant. I didn't drive at the time, so I didn't know that my hometown's M6 motorway was terrible, which is embarrassing for a Brummie to say, but there you go, true. Queeve was Irish. He had no idea what our roads were like. We'd never ventured that far north, you know, that far Midlands. And so we thought we'd make it loads of time. We'll stop off and get some food and have a cup of tea. And we, you know, fannied about in services, got back in the car at like sort of 6 o'clock or something, thinking it'd all be fine, and carried on up the M6 to find out the whole motorway had been closed. There'd been some terrible accident. They called in the air ambulance. And, you know, I won't say that somebody was dead, but their gravestone is just outside the door of XS Malarkey. And anyway, we made it horribly late, and we were texting. Were we even texting? Did he text in those days? We were sending pigeons to Toby Ado to say how late we were, and Toby was frantically filling in, and frankly it rather selfishly worked in our favours, because then we didn't have to do those rather tough opening spots. We got there about, must have been like 9:30, 10 o'clock in the middle. Toby had said everything. He's practically reading out birthday cards by the time he brought us on, and we got onto a lovely, receptive, really anticipatory crowd, and we both had a great time. And it marked a real... it did mark a turning point in our careers, because what used to happen in those days, I don't know if it's still the case, but it was our first appearance up here, and it was just the real hub of the Manchester comedy community. There were loads of people here who booked other gigs and recommended us to other people, and because we'd gone well, we started getting phone calls over the next few weeks, and was, oh, I got your number off someone, or I heard you were good at XS, do you want to come and do our club? And it just opened so many doors to us, and it really opened the door to the whole sort of gigs in the Northwest, and it was actually getting able to play proper clubs with proper audiences and sort of proper pro acts on the bill that tamed us over, you know, caused a few years' work from being open spot comics to being pro comics. You needed to work in that sort of environment to progress, and that was what we weren't getting. And this was our first taste of it. So eternally grateful. Thank you very much. Good to see the club still running. And I'm very sorry for that last one and all the others. you've been really good fun, XS. Thanks for having me down. I've been Gary Delaney. Good night. Bye-bye. Yeah.
I
You have been listening to the Excess Malarkey podcast, produced by Richard Massara, Lee Martin and Toby Haydock, with special thanks to Platt Chapel, all the acts that performed, and to you, the audience, for listening. For more information, visit us at www.excessmalarkey.com or find us on Facebook or on Twitter.
What would you rather be doing? I know what I'd rather be doing. Listening to the Excess Malarkey podcast. It's lovely.
Good. Well, look, all's well that ends well. And didn't even have to play with that one. That was a statement of fact. I quite like it when we all get together and have fun. I remember I got together with some mates. We went all the way to Australia. And we went to the Great Barrier Reef, and I fell over backwards. And I got a coralie anus. Boo that motherfucker!